To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. As we're approaching Halloween, how perfect. I have a science fiction ghost story for you on the podcast. It is The Adventures of Alibi Jones. It is science fiction. And it is the novel Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. But it's based on a science fiction ghost story. A story that appeared in the anthology Hunting Ghosts. More on that after the chapter. But yes, we're dealing with a ghost ship. Alibi Jones and his covert ops team has finally been given what sounds like an interesting mission. Investigate reports of a ghost ship out in deep space. So yes, just in time for Halloween, our science fiction story transforms into a ghost story. As Alibi Jones and company begin hunting ghosts, it's also a perfect jumping on point for new listeners. If you're brand new, this is a great place to get into the story. Alibi Jones and his crew are undercover out at the edge of the Solar Alliance near the Colony Depot. An area of space they call the Depot Fringe. And they're in an old forward op space, the Hornet's Nest, which is kind of disguised. It's built into an old asteroid in an out-of-the-way system. And they've been trying to establish their cover as traders, free traders, out in this part of space where things aren't necessarily all that regulated. But now they've been given this mission. Investigate this ghost ship. I assure you, it is science fiction. There is something going on here. But it is also a ghost story. Join us on the ghost hunt, won't you? Chapter 16 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest is up next on Glow in the Dark Radio. First, a little bit of news. We are approaching Halloween as I record this. It's on the way on Wednesday. And I hope you'll join me. I'm going to do a live Halloween party, a live radio show. Join me on WBKM, WBKM.org, or grab our app in the App Store. Join me at noon Eastern Time on Halloween for my Glow in the Dark Radio Halloween party. I used to do it just on this podcast. But yes, I'm going to do it live on the radio this Wednesday on WBKM. That's our internet radio station, WBKM.org. You can check it out on Facebook, facebook.com/WBKM.org. Or again, go to the App Store and just look for WBKM and grab that app. I'm going to read The Raven like I do, Edgar Allan Poe. Brand new reading. Probably read some Lovecraft. And we'll see what else. It's all happening this Wednesday at noon on WBKM. Now, speaking of reading, you can still get Good Samaritan Unto Dust, the comic book, on sale at Comixology through Halloween. It's part of their indie horror sale. Superhero noir for me, in my case. Good Samaritan is Father Bill Sullivan. Takes place in Boston, 1965, as he tries to get along with the new cardinal and to stop a new menace, a vampire-like child molester stalking the night. Can Good Samaritan balance the big fight with the little battles he has to win on his day job as a Catholic priest? Check it out and find out the answer in a two-part graphic novella with art by Federico Guillen, colors by Ken Lettier, and me doing everything else, writing, lettering, putting it all together, getting it out there at Comixology.com. It is on sale now as part of their indie horror sale. There are links in the show notes, or just look for Good Samaritan Unto Dust, or me, Mike Luoma, L-U-O-M-A for spelling there, at Comixology.com. And again, link in the show notes. Up next, Chapter 16 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. I've got that science fiction ghost story for you coming up. And for other thrills, chills, murder plagues, and such, check out flashpulp.com.
The Flesh Pulp Podcast. 3 to 10 minutes of fiction brought to you thrice weekly. 200 miles below the surface of the Earth, at the terminus of a series of long-sealed caverns and interconnected shines, under the shadow of the eternally bleeding eye, there is a crippled wreck of a man writing tales, stories of a dimension engulfed in madness. He is writing them of you. Find them all at fleshpulp.com or search for it on iTunes.
Now here's Chapter 16 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi sat on the cruiser's bridge, watching footage from the mission package sent by Safe Command. The recording in front of Alibi alternated between a humorless man with a severe crew cut in a Safe Commander's uniform and an independent trader dressed in flamboyant maroon, gold, and black. A haunted ship? Are you kidding me? Garrison Commander Sharkovsky asked. Alibi knew the man was relatively new to his post, appointed a few months back after a corruption scandal cleaned out the old Safe hierarchy on Depot. He obviously didn't suffer fools. You want me to believe there's some kind of old haunted ship out there? Sharkovsky said. Look, man, I know you're new here. I get it. Respect. You don't have to tough guy me, Hector Ruiz said. Maybe you don't realize this, but I'm an independent. Ain't my habit to call into the Safe garrison to chit-chat. Just trying to tell you, there's some sort of old alien husk floating out at those coordinates I sent you. And some kind of spaceman ghost with it that appeared on my bridge, saying, don't let me die. It was messed up. What sort of cargo are you carrying, independent? Sharkovsky asked. Hallucinogens? Click. Alibi laughed as he switched off the footage. Cat appeared on the bridge and made his way up to his flight seat on Alibi's right. What are you watching? Cat asked. Some more of your human comedy? Not exactly, Alibi said. The mission package. Archival material. The first report of the alien derelict, our ghost ship. At least this time around. This time? Cat asked. I did not realize there was another time. Yeah, Alibi said. It appeared before, about 5 years ago. No talk of any ghosts back then, though, according to the reports. No talk of anything, really. Cat cocked his head to the side, inquisitive. Another hush-hush mission, like ours. None of it was made public knowledge. I never heard anything about it myself, Alibi explained. Another covert ops team investigated back then. But most of them didn't make it back. Commander of the mission actually got ripped in half. Row! Cat growled. Alibi jumped a little, still not quite used to Cat's outbursts. Alibi had grown accustomed to Cat's brother Kit, a less emotional Darkur. Alibi now knew Kit's calm demeanor was not, evidently, a racial trait.
Sorry, Cat said, realizing he'd made Alibi jump. But how did that happen? What ripped apart the commander?
The ship itself, Alibi said. The commander was on the outer hull of the alien ship when it unexpectedly shifted off into something like Transpace or its equivalent. Took half of them with it, left the rest behind. No one knew why it happened. Alibi shook his head. He nodded at the screen in front of him. I was just learning about it in the package.
I did not yet look through mine, Cat said. Are we sure this is the same alien shipwreck now reappeared?
Back then, the covert Safe crew installed a temporary airlock in the wreck. Managed to pressurize a small section inside of the alien ship. The guy who first reported this new appearance described an airlock just like that one.
Hmm, Cat growled.
What happened to the rest of the old covert ops team?
Most of them were on board the alien vessel at the time it shifted away, Alibi said. They were never heard from again. All five of the crew dead. Well, four presumed dead, MIA.
Perhaps this ghost that has been reported is merely a member of the old team trying to make contact,
Cat asked,
now that the ship has returned.
Maybe, Alibi said. But it's not likely. The crew stranded on the alien shipwreck only had a temporary setup back then, Cat. Even the most optimistic estimates put their supply of oxygen at 2 weeks. It's been over 5 years.
Oh,
Cat said. And the captain who called in the new contact described a ghost actually appearing on his ship, saying, Don't let me die again, Alibi said. A glowing green spaceman ghost that disappeared when they left the old shipwreck. Alibi shook his head. That doesn't sound like anyone trying to make contact. Not a living person. Cat began to say something, but stopped. He paused, thinking.
I still find it difficult to believe the safe and the project actually have us hunting ghosts, Cat said.
Well, let's just say we're investigating an ancient alien shipwreck, Alibi clarified.
Which may or may not be haunted,
Cat pointed out.
This is the ship we are going to.
Yep.
This makes me uneasy, Alibi Jones,
Cat said. A sob shifted Alibi and Cat's attention towards the back of the bridge. Emily stood in the open hatch entry to the bridge with her hand up to her face. Her eyes were closed. She covered her mouth as another sob shook her. Alibi turned his captain's chair around. Emily, are you okay? He asked.
I'm sorry, she said. I heard what you were talking about as I walked onto the bridge.
She opened her eyes, red and rimmed with tears.
I knew, she paused, someone on that team. They didn't come back alive.
Emily fought back another sob.
I'm sorry, she said.
Alibi looked from Emily over to Cat, who nodded back at him. Cat turned to the ship's controls. Alibi realized there was a lot he didn't know about Emily in her past. This was new information. She hadn't mentioned it when he originally told her about their mission to investigate the mysterious alien vessel. Alibi got up from his chair and walked over to his sobbing teammate.
I'm sorry, Emily, he said.
He reached out to give her a reassuring squeeze on the shoulder, but she shrugged him off. She blinked away the tears welling up in her brown eyes.
I'll be okay, she said.
Wish I knew what to tell her.
He wanted to say something to comfort her, but didn't have the words. Before he could attempt something he'd later regret, he was interrupted.
Captain Al, what did you do to her?
The woman's high-pitched, sharp-toned, and indignant voice rang out from the corridor behind Emily. Lenora Schwald sashayed up behind the other woman, bringing with her the overpowering scent of her powdery, flowery perfume. Schwald was an independent contractor who worked for the project, a supposed psychic sensitive in her mid-40s. The project's R&D people were experimenting with what they called extra-audible communication, the discovery of alien races who used telepathic means of communication had led to a cutting-edge program that employed people like Schwald.
You're the psychic, you tell me, Alibi cracked.
Now that's not very nice, Captain Al,
Lenora said, as she reached out for Emily's arm. Emily pulled away from Lenora's grasp.
Please, don't touch me, Emily said.
She turned around, pushed past Lenora Schwald, and jogged off down the corridor.
You should watch what you say to her, Captain Al,
Lenora Schwald said.
Doesn't take a psychic to see she likes you. And you are cute, I'll give you that.
She actually winked at Alibi.
But you piss her off like that, and you won't get anywhere. Well, not with her, anyway.
The older woman laughed. She turned and glided off in the same direction Emily had gone.
She likes me?
Alibi said to himself. Where'd she get that?
She is a psychic,
Cat offered.
For a psychic, she has no idea what other people are thinking,
Alibi cracked.
You want to bring us into Rigel 4?
Cat called to Alibi. Alibi went back to his seat, shaking his head.
You don't? Alibi asked.
Cat looked over at him with a furrowed brow and frowning whiskers.
No,
Kat said.
When I agreed to join this covert ops team, it was because it was supposed to operate outside of the Solar Alliance. All this traveling around inside the SA is troublesome to me. I am not comfortable doing so much inside of your SA's borders.
This is a special case, Alibi said. The SAE figures we're the right team to do this job. Alibi sat back down. He called up the SAE garrison on Rigel 4 and secured clearance to land.
If we are so perfect for this assignment, why do we need Lenora Schwald?
Kat asked.
And why are we now picking up this Dr. Humphreys?
To make us perfecter? Alibi offered. Kat growled, but smiled a little at the same time.
I hope that you are right, Kat said. But it could be we were chosen because we are easily expendable. If a covert ops team goes missing, who notices?
Comforting thought, Kat, Alibi said. Thank you for your optimism.
You are welcome.
That didn't take long. Just barely put my suitcase away, Dr. Devin Humphreys, the xenobiologist, said, as the alien derelict came into focus on the bridge's view screens. He made his way to a passenger seat, one of the two open. Emily and Lenora Schwald were in two of the others. As usual, Kat and Alibi were up in the co-pilot and pilot seats at the front of the bridge. They guided their cruiser in closer towards the old shipwreck.
Transpace does not take very long, Doctor, Kat said. We had the transpace jump coordinates on hand from earlier passers-by. It made the trip through transpace from Rigel 4's jump point quite easy.
The interstellar neighborhood they jumped into was somewhat dusky, yet stunning. Out near the edge of an as-yet-unnamed nebula, dominated by clouds of glowing violet and crimson star stuff. Their view of the bright colors was obscured by dense, closer clouds of unilluminated matter in between. The stellar debris clouds were dark, but not as black as the ancient alien husk of a ship they'd come to investigate. It floated across the dark clouds, appearing etched out in ebony ink, showing up against the nebula as a blotch of negative space, a small, jagged black hole.
Beautiful, Lenora said, as she looked out at the nebula.
She closed her eyes and grew silent.
I'm not picking anything up yet,
she said, after a few moments' silence. Do you think you might? Emily asked her. This far away? The older woman sat with her eyes closed and didn't answer. Emily tired of waiting. She turned away from the psychic and looked up at the front of the bridge. Alibi zoomed in on the alien ship, putting the larger image on the bridge's main view screen so all could see.
She's back, all right, Humphreys said. Looks like the same ship. Lost two close friends and colleagues on that beast. Good xenobiologists. The project sent only the best in to investigate. The other folk on the crew were also top-notch.
Alibi laughed. Humphreys glowered at him.
What's so funny? Humphreys demanded.
Sorry, Alibi apologized. It sounded like you just admitted you weren't the best, since they didn't send you in there. Alibi realized his explanation wasn't helping his case. It wasn't appropriate. Sorry.
I was part of the first. The original first contact team, the one that met the Domo, son,
Humphreys said, sounding indignant.
However, as a manager, I couldn't go into this ship back then, much as I wanted to. But I sent our people into that ship. I'm here now because I feel like I owe it to them, or at least to their memory.
Again, I'm sorry, Alibi said. Trying to make a joke, it backfired. Humphreys glared at him for a moment and then looked away. Alibi looked across the bridge at Emily. He wondered how she was handling her memories. He was beginning to wonder about some other things as well, such as the makeup of their small covert ops team. The Solar Alliance Interplanetary Force, SAFE, teamed up with the scientists of the project to assemble their squad. Alibi's Aunt Anita had run the project and led the Solar Alliance in the past. It had seemed natural for her to ask Alibi's covert ops team to look into the alien ship. Now that he knew both Humphreys and Emily had personal history tied into the first appearance of the wreck, Alibi was starting to wonder what strings were being pulled that he didn't know about.
Don't like being part of plans I'm not in on.
Don't mind Dr. Harumph, please,
Lenora Schwald said, suddenly alert. You two know each other? Alibi asked, surprised.
Our paths have crossed, Humphreys said. We both work with the project, Schwald said. You might be surprised how often alien contact work calls for both the scientist and the psychic.
Too often lately, Humphreys said under his breath.
You two have come across a lot of haunted ships? Alibi asked.
Not like this, Schwald said. She sounded excited.
I'm a scientist, Humphreys said. I can assure you, whatever is going on here, there is no such thing as ghosts or haunted ships.
Scientists are priests with their own set of dogma, Schwald said. Devon refuses to believe in anything he cannot see.
Devon? Alibi asked.
He's too stubborn to admit there even are such things as psychics, Schwald said. No matter how many times I've proven I'm sensitive.
Proven? Humphreys said. He sounded both amused and a little annoyed. Proof, if only.
All right, enough arguing. Let's move on and move in, Alibi said. You two, simmer down. Emily, go back and start the onboard transpace nullifier, okay?
Gotcha,
Emily said, looking happy to be leaving the bridge.
The transpace nullifier was a defensive weapon developed by the Project for use in the War for Humanity's Existence against the Eldred 25 years earlier. It created a field that prevented transpace engines from working. SAFE and the Project hoped the transpace nullifier might have the same effect on whatever engines move the ancient alien derelict out of normal space, keeping it from suddenly shifting off.
No one wanted a repeat of the incident that cost the captain of the first crew his life.
The cruiser had a built-in nullifier, the one Emily went to turn on. There was also a much larger transpace nullifier sitting in the cruiser's cargo bay. They'd picked it up on Rigel IV when Humphreys came on board. The plan was to move that big one over onto the alien ship, activating it over there in an attempt at keeping the derelict from jumping away without warning.
The report said other ships experienced power drains when they approached the alien craft, Alibi said. Let me know if we see anything like that.
All systems are being monitored for any power fluctuations, Kat informed him.
Good, Alibi said, as the cruiser continued to close the distance between them and the giant, ageless alien vessel.
That was Chapter 16 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. Oh yes, more yet to come. Hunting ghosts. A giant, ageless alien vessel. And we've got Lenora Schwald, the psychic, and Devon Humphreys, the scientist, now on board. Also on board the Transpace Nullifier. It's time to get hunting. I hope you'll be back as we head for the old ghost ship on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. We do it chapter by chapter, week by week on this podcast. I read to you from my books. I'm Mike Luoma. I want to take a minute to thank writer and editor Buck Weiss for inviting me to write a short story for his Hunting Ghosts anthology a while back. Buck invited me to write for it. I said, I write science fiction, Buck. I'm not sure I got something. And then I got this idea for an Alibi Jones ghost story. And that story, Alibi Jones and the Ghost in the Machine, became part of the Hunting Ghosts anthology. But the story is now woven into this novel, Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. And the anthology is out of print. So the only place you can actually get your hands on the original story, Alibi Jones and the Ghost in the Machine, is in the Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life. That's an anthology of my stuff that I give out exclusively to people who join my mailing list. But it is part of the meat of this novel. It's a lot of Act Two in many ways. Although some of what made up that short story ended up in like the first couple chapters too. So like I say, it's kind of woven into this novel. And it goes well beyond, the novel goes well beyond what happens in the short story. And it's in the novel that you actually discover the science fictional basis, if you will, for what's going on. As it stood in the anthology, it really was just a ghost story. I mean, I knew there was an explanation, but I didn't give it to you there. Not entirely. But yes, we have now just dove into the meat of it on the podcast, and we've got some good stuff ahead. I promise. I hope you'll be back. I hope you're enjoying this science fiction ghost story. It is science fiction. I do assure you that. So I hope you'll join me again next week. And actually, I hope you'll join me on Wednesday at WBKM. WBKM.org. It's an internet radio station. It's where I spend my weekday afternoon from noon until 2 Eastern time. And I'm going to do a Halloween show this Wednesday, Halloween. So noontime Halloween. It'll be the Glow in the Dark Radio Halloween Party on WBKM.org. So you can listen there at WBKM.org. You can listen on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WBKM.org. Or you can get our app, which is, I think, the easiest way to listen and pretty cool too. Just go to the App Store and look for WBKM, and you'll be able to listen anytime. I help put the music together for this station all the time, except for the specialty shows where people do their own thing. So it gives you, I think, a great radio station to listen to besides joining me for Halloween and the festivities then. Again, WBKM, Burlington's kind of music, BKM.org. WBKM.org. And you can get Good Samaritan Unto Dust for, well, cheap. It's on sale right now at Comixology through Halloween as part of their indie horror sale. Just look for Good Samaritan or me, Mike Luoma, at Comixology.com or follow the link in the show notes. That's all for this week. I do hope you'll be back. Our music is by one Carlos Quatordio. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.